This is episode 4, Packard Pokes at Eric's Cylon Problem.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokes at, and I'm poking at your news.
Hello, everybody. This is your immutable or unmutable host, Packard Sonic. I am here tonight with, on my right, or on my very far right, I don't know. He says he's in the center, but Eric Laquette.
Hey, what's up?
All right. And on my left, actually, well, he could be up underneath me or on top of me or whatever, because he's actually not even here in the studio. It'd be Dan. I forgot your last name, Dan.
Dan Johnson.
Dan Johnson. It's such a common name, and I just blanked it right out.
Why everybody forgets it. Yeah. But I am indeed a leftist rebel, so that works.
There you go.
All I got to say, Packard, is that the way you introduced him made it sound like you sound very dirty.
Good. I like that.
You be on top of me or below
I meant standing like standing on my head. Not, I mean, dirty minded. Good grief.
I'm just saying, Packard. I'm just saying.
I'm trying to be funny. Don't pick on me. That's okay. I'm used to it. Not a big deal. Wow, what a lot of news today. This week. Wow. And today. It's just been a busy week. I have never seen the news cycle like this before. I mean, literally, people in other cities, you know, the old saying, stop the presses. They stop the presses. And they did that for the local place here because they tweeted it out, say we have to redo the whole thing because of what happened. And unless you've been living in Iraq, in Iraq, or Iran, under a rock, wherever, Osama, he is no longer alive. And our congratulations go out to our brave men who went out there and basically put him where he belongs, you know, and we're done with him. I am so glad we are done with him.
Yes. So, yes. And I'm happy they just took care of business.
Yes. It's been a long time coming, and I'm just glad this is over. We get final closure on this, and we can move on. Any thoughts, Dan?
Pretty much along the same. It's, you know, it was a long time coming. I'm glad it's over with.
Yeah, me too. So we're not going to dwell on that because we have a lot of other news stories. And we have an interview tonight. Whenever you're listening to this, it could be the morning. I don't know. And we do not, for the first time, we do not have corrections. Yay!
Got it right.
Everybody got it right. I got it right. Dan got it right. You got it right. Or Woo-hoo. We could have had it left, I guess. I don't know. So we're going to... So let's move right into our first story of the evening. TV ownership falls for the first time in 20 years. This is amazing stuff right now. I mean, it's not amazing as the other stuff that had happened, but I mean, this is kind of big because people who are not going out and buying new TVs. I mean, they're out making all these 3D TVs and everything, but people are saying, yeah, we don't want TVs anymore. I mean, we have the internet. We have our computer monitors, unless they're buying them to use them as a computer monitor. And some TVs, they have a jack. You can actually hook up an Ethernet cable to them, and you can watch YouTube or whatever on them. But the Nielsen company, which takes TV ownership into account when they do the ratings, they said it's been dropping. I'm actually stunned. I mean, well, not stunned, I should say. Slightly stunned, because I just recently got one, finally upgraded to a flat screen about a year ago, but I don't watch it as much as I used to. I hooked up the computer, and that's all I use it for. How about you guys there, Eric?
I'll tell you this. If I could figure out a way of hooking up my PlayStation and Xbox to my computer monitor, I wouldn't have a TV.
Oh,
I don't want a TV.
I could probably help you out with that after the show.
Oh, sweet. Because if that happens, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get me a nice little 27-inch MacBook or iMac, and use that as a TV. Because really and truly, you know, it's like you said, and I've said this, in about 10 years, the cable company is going to have to change its mindset.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's not so much with, like, my parents' generation or anything, as and to some degree with my generation, but to the younger generation, it's the computer. If it's not online, if it's not on the computer, they don't care about it. It's not going to happen. And, you know, I think that's why a lot of the cable companies and stuff like that are trying to put caps on data.
Oh, absolutely.
So that way they can monetize it. And the thing is, like, you know, I go back and forth. I sit here and I say, I want to get me a new LCD television. I want to – and what I kind of want to do and what I'm thinking about doing is, you know how the new 27-inch IMAX have, like, two Thunderbolt ports?
Oh, I've heard about that. I have not seen one of these in person yet, but I would really love to. I'm hearing almost 400 megabits just over the internet on these things.
Yeah. Well, I would like to get me a new iMac, a 27-inch screen.
Ooh.
Have one of the Fire Thunderbolt ports connected to an HDMI. You know, have it convert to HDMI.
Yeah.
Plug it into the big screen TV and have the big screen TV mirror my iMac, and then the second Thunderbolt port to go to a second desktop screen. So that way, if I want to watch something on iTunes or on the online or anything like that, I have the ability to be able to port it straight to my television.
Yep.
And it just becomes like a fancy Mac Mini or a Apple TV. Or if I want to, I have a dual screen setup. Or if I choose, I could have a three screen setup.
Calm down, Eric. Calm down. I can hear your drool all the way over here. You're making my microphone sweat, okay? Stop it.
But in the end, you know, if I had my choice, I would get me a nice monitor desktop and just forgo the whole entire, you
the
know,
whole setup.
Television.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's like I don't need it anymore, you know? I barely...
Somebody's phone is near their microphone. Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry. I heard a sorry.
Yep.
Okay.
Somebody's running a number station.
Yeah. Well, I know it wasn't me, because that one is off, and it's the only one I have that has GSM, and everything that's a ways away. So it has a nice. I'm gonna make that my new ringtone.
I really don't. I would choose not to have a television. Like, in fact, whenever I lived in an apartment before I got my wonderful, wonderful fiance and all that good stuff, I had a TV, but I can most probably count on two hands the amount of time that I've turned it on in the 4 or 5 years that I lived in my apartment complex.
I was the opposite. I had that TV on almost all the time, but I was always on every other channel. So, but I know people that put on one channel, like MTV or whatever, and they leave it on that. And it's like, yeah, just let your brain rot. So
we use ours for video games, for movies. We don't have cable TV anymore. Haven't for years. Now I have an antenna hooked up to it. I can switch over to a couple of the local stations to see what's going on with
mm-hmm.
weather updates or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But other than that, it's the PlayStation 3 is hooked up, and that's just fine.
Yeah.
You know. Well, and the PS2.
Yeah. Well, you can't get online with the PS2 or the PS3 right now.
Because, well, yeah, there is that. But we can still stream stuff from my wife and I use a program on our Linux machines here to stream whatever media we want from our PCs to the PlayStation 3 to go through the television.
Right.
So that's helpful too.
Yeah, that's kind of fun when you can do that kind of stuff.
You know, the only thing that gets me about doing that, because I tried to do it with my iMac and my Xbox, is that I download a lot from iTunes, and the music and all that is fine because it mm-hmm. has no DRM. But where I run into the problem is with my iTunes TV series and videos and stuff like that, because it needs to have the DRM, and it can't crack that. You know, it's almost like they have a Plex media server.
Yeah, there's a way to solve that. Torrent! Excuse me, torrent.
well, I'm trying to do this legally.
Well, you already own it legally.
It's
difficult
to do it legally a lot of the time.
Yeah,
there are DRM issues with some cables and monitors that The software says, I'm sorry, I don't recognize that monitor
as yeah,
DRM capabilities.
Yeah, exactly. And that makes it even harder for the consumer.
And that's what it's going down to. Because it's like,
Eric, you're Cyloning.
Legitimate?
Starting to Cylon. Man, we weren't even talking pre-show for that long, and you've already turned into a Cylon.
All right, there we go.
All right.
There we go.
Okay. Let's
No, but... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, We've been on this for a little while. We should move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was one other tech story that Eric dropped in here, that into our shared folder here. Sounds like we got a conga line in there. It's about the, if you've ever seen the TV show Battlestar Galactica or Caprica. They had what they'd like take it, unfold a piece of paper, they draw on it, and it would be like turn this little computer thing. Well, apparently. They are actually working on this. This is something that came out. The piece that here I have is about less than 24 hours old, so no telling when it's going to be out. It's going to be used for like it can be used for like spy gadgets or whatever. I mean, how long before they're using this kind of stuff in schools, just like they did in the TV show? I mean, it's our modern technology is advancing so fast. Who knows where it's going to be in 20 years from now?
Yeah. I mean, how would you feel about actually having something that's paper? I'll feel like I would lose it or something like that, or accidentally throw it away, not realizing, you know, it's like, oh no, I threw away my phone.
Just pick up another one and start ringing.
Yeah,
but maybe it'll be like so inexpensive, it'll cost a ream of papers. So.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, because I'm going to throw away a lot of phones.
Yeah. There's those burner phones again.
There we go, without even meaning for it to be a burner phone.
Exactly. All right. Well, did you want to touch base on that, Dan?
No, I mean, it's an interesting concept. Flexible circuits have come a long way, and being able to draw a circuit is, you know, it happens. You can do it.
Yeah,
it's just a matter now of getting things smaller and more power to the processors and being able to do some of these things more quickly.
Yep,
it'll happen.
It'll happen. It will happen. It's a matter of time. Okay, well let's move on here.
What up?
Our random tweet comes from Acteon, Acteon. Actually, it's a retweet of somebody else, and it kind of touches back what happened this morning at the beginning of the week. Is an actual retweet of John's designer John Dresner, Jondresner, who says, "If Osama bin Laden is dead, can we please have our rights back?" I can sympathize with that. I mean, you can't go to the airport, even here in. In Wausau, the nearest big airport is the Mosny Airport. It's huge. For this area, it's huge, and because this is where our bigger planes land, and they have the scanner, the whole nine yards. I mean, this stuff it's looks like I don't know. It looks like something that came out of the Jetson. You're just waiting for someone to jump in there and just shoot out of the other end. But I think that with this threat with bin Laden gone, I'm hoping will it happen? Most likely not, because once the government or whoever's in charge gets their claws in, getting them out again, that takes quite a lot of effort. So will we get our rights back? Maybe. I would like to see this scaled back a little bit. I mean, because they're saying now that he's dead, all this other stuff was going to happen. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, because they have all this other stuff they got on their computer, so they're going to be out there grabbing these people. So, any thoughts, gentlemen? Eric?
One of two things is going to happen.
Only two things?
Only one of two things.
Okay.
Either A, since our mortal enemy has now passed away,
Shot away.
Thank you, Navy SEALs, by the way. I appreciate it.
Again, thank you, Navy SEALs.
Either those who follow in his footsteps will either fall by the wayside and go away and disappear, which is what I'm hoping, because they're so disorganized now. I mean, you take away their leader and, you know, we're going to see what happens. Or B, we've just swatted the hornet's nest and all hell is about to break loose.
Yeah, that's always a definite possibility.
And that's the one that worries me, is swatting the hornet's nest. Because, you know, the thing is, it's like, here's what gets me. You know, we have I wholeheartedly sit there and I say, you know what, I don't want to believe that all Muslims are bad. I don't want to believe that, you know, I understand that, you know, we've done some bad things to them. I also understand that they've done some bad things to us. I understand that, you know, we have different points of view. I know that not all of them are extreme.
Right.
But, you know, whenever I see marches in the street glorifying this man who led to the death of 3,000 innocent people,
yes, you know,
I have issues with that. And that kind of brings my opinion lower.
Right.
And I know it's not all of them. And I don't want to make it like it's all of them.
Right.
But it does bring my opinion down.
Yeah, you know? I can imagine. How about you, Dan? What's your thoughts on that tweet?
I haven't flown in 15 years, and I'm not about to.
Ah.
No, I really don't like the idea of TSA's what have proven to be extremely ineffective measures in doing anything.
Yeah.
I think it's a failed experiment. In that regard, I think it's very successful in the fact that it keeps a great many people afraid.
Yeah, it's as George Conlon would say, it's a big show. It's nothing but show.
It's all smoke and mirrors, and it really doesn't change anything except to keep people in line.
Yeah.
Those were the people that weren't going to get out of line in the first place.
Right. It's the only people that's hurting is the little people. It's not hurting. It's not hurting them because they'll find a way one way or the other. Okay, let's move on to our next random subject. No, it's not completely random. It's since we kind of touch base on it, let's delve right in and get right to it.
Politics.
This was something you had mentioned, Eric, last week, but we never got around to it. Bill Maher had really cheesed you off.
Yes, he has.
And I listened to the. I'm not going to play the audio clip since, one, I don't have it with me at the moment. Two, because I don't want to get us DMCA'd and the show taken off the air. No, it won't be taken off the air, probably just that podcast. So they can't DMCA us by quoting what they said, so we'll be okay there. Apparently, he was on David Letterman, and he was talking about the Tea Party, said to him about what do you hear there? Yeah. Bill Maher had said they're sad and fortunate people because they are, you know, corporate America's useful idiots.
That's not the furthest thing he went. No, he also called them racist.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'll get to that here. We're going to just break it down a little bit here.
Sorry, I'm jumping ahead.
Jump ahead, Eric. I mean, I didn't bring my jump rope. Don't ask me where that came from. I have no idea. Anyway, because they America's useful idiots. I mean, and I can see his point there, because they're these corporations. They like we said, they make the people afraid, or they tell them what they think they want to hear to get them in line. And these people, they're not using their brains. They're just reacting. They're not thinking about how they're acting. They're just reacting, like a scared animal might.
It's kind of like Men in Black.
Yeah.
The single person is very open-minded, very considerate and all that. People as a whole
are scared and afraid of their own shadow. He goes on to say that they are, and I have more respect for them if they knew a thing, if they in fact could get into that tinfoil helmet off. And we got to get Eric's tinfoil helmet off, because he's just broadcasting.
Oh,
he's just broadcasting all over this place there. I was picking up his thoughts all the way over here. In and out of the chat rooms of their house have tested for lead for just a minute. He was making a little joke there. Yeah, and I can see, you know, that's just, you know, a little pegging on them because, you know, they're, well, you know what, we all know what lead does to the human body. So it's a retardant, as it were, in the bloodstream. So, and I can understand why that makes the joke that much more poignant. Letterman went on to say, as this friendship with the campaign, your partner of the friendship with the campaign, and Bill had gone on to say that I don't have any respect for these tea, well, I'm going to say it, tea baggers, but apparently they thought they may have said something else. That's why they bleeped it out. I'm not going to bleep it out because I'll call him a teabagger, because for me, from when I was growing up, a teabag was just something you stuck in your tea and you got a hot cup of nice little Java or thing out of it. But that's me. So
I don't mind if they're teabaggers, but if they're campers, by gosh, there's going to be a fight.
Of course, as I got a little bit older, I found out that also had another connotation, which is something more in a more of
you
a
gotta
adult.
Play more video games.
No, I was no, I played a lot of
you gotta play more video games.
No, I was actually thinking more of a adult connotation, not so much as the video game, because I've never seen. I've played a lot of video games in my day. Never once did I say played the teabagger game. So
whatever. If you've ever played Halo, trust me,
I have played Halo.
Have you teabagged some people before?
I don't remember them even saying teabagging in the thing there.
You really didn't play Halo.
I did. I honestly played it. I did play it. I just don't remember. I played it on my laptop before it decided to self destruct, and I went through the whole thing. So I just, but that was 4 years ago. I don't remember any of it, well, except for the flood. That's all I remember. But that's a whole other story. But anyway, what was it about exactly that he said that it really got you upset? I mean, he said that. Don't have respect for the teabaggers, and I can understand that because it does. These people, they're as far as I'm concerned, they're flipping out over all kinds of weird stuff. I mean, some of these people going on this Tea Party going movement in here in town, and some of the local guys that work for our paper went out there and they said these people are the most racist people they'd ever met.
There's my problem. Here's the thing, okay. Now, first of all, you know, I'm going to start off by saying this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Bush. I didn't care for him, especially towards the end of his term, because I felt Bush is the type of conservative I don't agree with, where he's more social conservative. Mm-hmm. I'm not a social conservative. I don't agree with that. I'm more fiscally conservative. I don't think, you know, and you and I have lots and lots of discussions about the role of government in our lives and what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing and who should be handling what.
Right. I never like to be handled unless it's with a pretty, pretty person.
Or the TSA.
Yes. Or, yeah, if I'm lonely and then I want to, it's like, please, I might be hiding something.
All you lonely
hold me,
men out there.
Hold me.
For all you lonely men, if you ever need some love, just go to the airport.
Just go to the airport. You get some loving. Or if you're a lady, you just want to just get that touch, tender touch. Come on, yeah. Baby.
And then
you don't have to buy them dinner.
Aren't you going to get on your flight? And it's like, well, no, I'm not going to get on a flight.
I'm not going anywhere. I just came in just for a little groping and then a little pleasing, and I don't have to buy a dinner or take you to a movie. And thank you. Bye-bye.
The 20th time they passed through the line.
You look really familiar.
Now,
but back to the political rant.
Okay. Yes. Now, the thing, and I'm not a big fan of Obama. You know, and namely, I'm not a big fan of a majority of politicians. It's not anything personal. It's just, you know, I think politicians are corrupt. I mean, that's just, there it is. First one. Dang.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just say that politicians are in general, a lot of times the, you know, not so much on a local level, but on a more national level are corrupt asses to begin with.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't like Bill Maher. And the reason why I don't like Bill Maher is because he has a view of things, and anyone who doesn't fall into his view, he thinks he's better than.
And I don't see that. To
what they're actually saying.
I don't see that. I've watched Bill Maher on a lot of this stuff, and I don't see that. I think he points things out in such a way that he makes you think. I mean, if George Carlin was still alive, I think he'd be doing the same thing. And as a matter of fact, he did a lot of that stuff in his act.
But you see, here's the thing: is, you know, George Carlin. Like, I see the humor in George Carlin, and I laugh because he's honestly funny.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Maher just comes across as
arrogant, you mean?
Arrogant. He has an arrogance about him, you know, and it's not a making me think arrogant. It turns me off of him. You know, I don't want to listen to what he has to say because he acts like he knows better than me.
Yeah, I completely understand that.
That comes from the same place where a lot of liberal-leaning people even had problems with Bill Maher. And
yeah.
I do to a certain extent, but in a more focused area. And I think it's the fact that although Bill Maher is very much outspoken against religion and is a very liberal-minded person, he doesn't seem to use a lot of critical thinking in many areas.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
a problem with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right. And this is a prime example of it, because here's the thing, okay? Now, where I will say I agree with him in so much that the Tea Party should have been complaining about this reckless spending during the Bush.
Yes.
And I would venture to say that it started happening during
happening?
The Bush.
Happily along. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It was happening during the Bush years. You just didn't hear a lot of it. I know.
I didn't hear any of it. I had never heard of the Tea Party until Obama had got into office. And
well,
then,
that's whenever it became very big. And you know, it's kind of like what the media does is so much that, you know, they find the most crazy people and they target them.
You mean like after a storm, then they find the most guy, the guy with
right.
the two, you know, teeth in his head, and carrying a TV set on one hand, and walking through a waste full of water, going, I'm just looking for a place to plug in.
That's right. And in fact, I'll use this example. Cindy Sheehan, okay? During the Bush years, all we heard was how Cindy Sheehan didn't support the war.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cindy Sheehan still does not support the war. But now we have Barack Obama in office.
Mm-hmm.
Do we hear anything about Cindy Sheehan?
No.
No.
It's all part of the news cycle. I mean,
whoever's
the most poignant at that moment. I mean, I've forgotten all about her. I don't know what the heck she even did. So don't bother reminding me, because I'll probably forget anyway.
I was just gonna say, you know, but I know that there are some more right leaning people who were complaining because George Bush had $1 trillion to $2 trillion budgets, and that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
well, he was crazy. I mean, I never seen anybody who there was stuff that came out about him after the fact, like he had had a oil well and. He bankrupted an oil well. How do you bankrupt an oil well? It's oil. Everybody wants oil. But he bankrupted it. I mean,
well, you know, there's some crazy. I mean, that being said, there's crazy stuff about Obama as well. And
it, well, I don't remember him by owning an oil well. Or
well, not about him owning oil well, but he hasn't really done anything, and you know, that's noteworthy, other than being a part of Acorn and a couple other things. And you know, and really, he's a clean slate. We don't know that much about him, about his previous life.
Actually, we have quite a bit of what he the White House unlike the last presidencies, where they would say, yeah, we did this, and they get out and they strut around, we did this and this and this and this, and then they quietly would shove aside the things they did they wanted to hide
right.
from us. This presidency is a lot different. We're looking at a whole new way of thought. We're not going out there and saying, yeah, you know that one thing? Yeah, we got that click. Oh, yeah, we got that too.
That's because anytime Barack Obama had to vote on anything major, he would just vote present. he didn't actually do anything.
No, I'm not even talking that. I'm talking now. I'm not talking then. I'm talking now. I'm talking all the stuff he has accomplished now.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to look up some stories because there are some times where they are not transparent, and they said they would be transparent, and they haven't.
Yeah,
been.
I understand that. They did say that the presidency would be a little bit more transparent, a little bit more available to the U.S. public. I understand that. But, I mean, what I'm saying is they didn't go out and say, hey, we did this. Hey, everybody, look over here. Woo! We're over here. Hey, this is what we did. But they said, okay, we did this. It's available. You can take a look at it. You know, that's... I think that's what's happening. You know, they said, okay, it's there. Boom. We're moving on. And they've been quietly doing this. You know, taking care of these problems that they said they were going to take care of. I actually had this discussion a couple days ago. And kept me up all day. And this person said, well, what has Obama done? And he said he hadn't done anything. Said, well, fortunately, I wasn't worried about my computer crashing, so I went right to the web and I said, oh, yeah, this is exactly everything he's done right here. And he said, well, I don't agree with it. Oh, and someone is echoing.
Uh-oh.
Is that me?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
I think it's you.
I don't know. It's not me. it's gone now. Anyway, he said...
Well, I would venture to say that he has done a lot.
Yes.
Now, the question is, how well has it worked, and if it has benefited the country like you thought it would?
Well, like, for example...
And that's what the debate is.
Okay, well, for example, the bailouts. We made a little over $3 billion profit in that bailout. Now, I know you had said this last time that you said we should have let them go. Well, then if we had just let them flounder and then have to bail themselves out, then all those people would have lost jobs, would have put them on it would have been put them on food stamps or whatever, and that would have been
Which
more
different
of a,
from now. How?
No, hang on, I'm not done. I'm coming to that. They would have put all these workers that were working for GM, would have put them out of work, and they would have put them on the county or the state assistance programs, and they would have been even more draining the economy. However, because we helped bail this out, and we made a profit. The government made a profit. Why is it when the government makes a profit, the Republicans go crazy? I'm thinking that they want the government to fail because they say they want the small government, so they want the government to fail to prove it doesn't work or whatever. I don't know what goes through their minds, quite honestly.
Okay, there are a couple things.
Yeah.
In regards to that, first of all, it's not government's job to prop up any company. If it's a private owned company, the thing that killed Chevy or GM was the union contracts. Barack Obama saved GM for the unions. Now, that being said, in order for GM to become profitable or
but
to appear
is...
profitable on paper, they had to give tons of subsidies, tons of tax breaks. You know,
these companies already get tax breaks. They had all this stuff beforehand. It didn't work.
Tax breaks, but not to the extent that it is now.
Not to the extent that GE does.
No.
Right. Well, yeah, and surprisingly enough, GE does support Barack Obama's campaigns.
Well, you know, look at all the other campaigns that get supported by all the Republican parties, and then they don't disclose any of it, and they refuse to disclose
any of it. When's the last time you heard Halliburton not having to pay taxes?
I don't remember ever hearing Halliburton ever paying taxes. Or any of those government, or any of those other ones.
I'm pretty sure Halliburton has to pay a nice sum of taxes, but you know, but that goes back to what I believe, which is all politicians are just crooked.
I am going to bring a bar of soap down there, Eric. I swear. But it'll be lavender. It'll be your favorite.
But back to Bill Maher. The thing that gets me about Bill Maher, okay, and like I said, you know, I agree with him in so much that this should have been more vocal and more upfront. Even though I think you had starts of it during the Bush administration, it's more prevalent now during the Obama administration, because now we're talking about $14 trillion worth of debt, wasteful government spending, you know, and depending on your view of things, you know, a lot of failed policies, you know, the future of healthcare, about how much that's going to cost the local, federal, and company.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too, but the thing is, though, I know a lot of Republicans are against Obamacare helping the citizens and everything like that. But I think that vision right there is a little short-sighted, and here's why. Here's why. If they take away the health care from the people who need it now, these people are going to become sicker, and they're going to become even more of a drain on our economy. If we give them the help now that they need and get these other people who need help, give them the help that they need, everybody as a whole becomes more healthy. If we all become more healthy, we have less drain on our hospitals and resources because more people are going to not need them as often. If they don't need them as often, then those costs come down. See, now that's why I say that their vision is so short-sighted, because they're just thinking of the here and now. The longer version, if you look into the future just a little bit, if you can get everybody on the same path and make them feel good or feel better, whatever it takes to get them going in the right way, and as far as their health is concerned, then they're going to use those resources a lot less.
My issue isn't so much about the, and I, this is my issue with healthcare isn't so much about the. And before we get this done, I got to be sure we talk about why I'm pissed off at Bill Maher. We still haven't touched it yet. But my thing is that with healthcare, it's not so much that we need something, because do insurance companies do crooked things? Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. Because they're worried about their bottom.
You could scratch the word insurance off of that and be just fine.
Yeah.
Yes. They do crooked things, and I'm okay with having something for, in case you lose, your insurance or for terminal illness.
Right.
And I think I've heard a lot of who you would venture to say far right people sit there and be like, look, if we want to cover the people who are without insurance, let's go ahead and do it. But to do more of a mass of what they're trying to do a more of a massive coverage. Now we're starting to get into the issue of cost.
At first it's going to be a cost. I mean, any time you get a change that's this dramatic, there is going to be a cost. I'm not going to deny that, because anytime you start something new, there's going to be some cost involved. But eventually, if you work the system properly, it should come back and fold back upon itself, and then that cost is absorbed.
Let's look at other places that have something similar. Look at Massachusetts, which has a statewide health care. And that is what our current health care law is based off of. And that was passed by a Republican, Mitt Romney. Something Mitt Romney is trying very hard to not claim, but he says his in the beginning was okay.
I am not a big fan of Mitt Romney.
This is similar to Mitt Romney's plan. Right now, if you research Massachusetts and healthcare, first of all, they're having a high demand upon the medical. They don't have enough medical people to facilitate the amount of to facilitate the demand.
You got to remember Massachusetts is such a smaller state.
It's a small thing. Well, what do you think is going to happen on the federal government side? Because here's the thing. We sit here and this is what the government does. They always project and they say, oh, it's only going to be about, let's say, 1 million people. Well, it never is 1 million people. It's kind of like welfare. Oh, welfare was only supposed to take care of so many people. Well, guess what? Now we have more and more people getting on welfare. Look at Social Security. Whenever Social Security was started, the reason why they picked the age of – is it 60 or 65?
It's 65.
Okay, the reason why they picked 65 is because no one lived that long. Well, now we have a whole bunch of baby boomers who are hitting that age.
I'm a baby boomer. He's a baby boomer. We're the baby boomer too.
But all this starts adding up, and you eventually have more and more people. And look at what's going on with Social Security.
Yeah, but since when is having good health being such a detriment? That's what I'm trying to.
It's not. Good health is good health. And here's what I believe. There are things that you can do. You can eat well. You can not smoke. You cannot do drugs. You cannot, overly drink and get stupid drunk and destroy your liver and all that. You could do all those things. But you also have the choices of doing those things.
Right.
And
I don't think that's as much of an impact on the healthcare costs as they will be. A lot of the healthcare costs that we're running into right now through Medicaid is people who do not go to get regular treatment or think that could be very easily treated, preventable through prophylactic care, and it ends up turning into something horrible that costs an outrageous amount of money to take care of.
Right, because they don't get it taken care of right away. Because they don't have insurance to do it.
Have the money to do it.
Exactly.
And,
And my thing is that if you didn't want to take care of it then you know, I mean...
No. It's not that you...
They didn't have enough money to take care of it.
Right. I would go... I couldn't go to this hospital when... I have special insurance now, but before I didn't have it. I didn't have it on my kids, and I didn't have it on myself. So I would do what I could to keep them healthy and myself, which, you know, when you got kids, that's a 24-hour job right there.
Don't get me wrong. I am okay with having a in case something happens policy, you know, in Dan's situation. You know, I'm okay with helping Dan out. I'm okay with that. But where I start having problems and stuff like that is whenever we go, like, I don't need, you know, government sponsored healthcare. I have my own policy.
Yeah, that's not available for everybody. That's what we're saying is that I understand. But the thing is though, if they had the chance to get the medical treatment they needed until it had to be the just in case problem, the emergency, then if they could have gotten the healthcare that they needed initially, they wouldn't have to go for this much more expensive treatment later down the road. Let's say I have a little cough or something, and then but I don't do anything about it because, you know, it's just a little cough. It's a little annoying, but I don't have the money to go to hospital because the hospital they make you pay on the spot. So in some states, this is true.
Medical costs are ridiculous. Yes. But okay. I don't think we're truly addressing the issue. We're just throwing money. It's kind of like what we do with education. We're not addressing the issues of education. We just throw money at it and hope that.
Well, sometimes money helps. Sometimes money helps.
We should use education for a future show too, because that's. We can do another show on healthcare. We can do another show on education.
We'll do some.
But back to Bill Maher.
We keep veering away from Bill Maher. Hi, Bill. If you're listening, we're talking about you.
That's right.
No, but the thing is that here's what I don't.
And
like.
You were saying that, all right. You were saying that he was saying that all teabaggers are racist.
That I do not like that, and this is why. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't racists in the Tea Party. Races are everywhere.
Right.
So they don't have a party affiliation. Their beliefs are based off of ignorance.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're not addressing the true issue, which is why weren't the teabaggers, or why wasn't this prevalent during the Bush administration, even though I feel it was. It's just the media wasn't covering it like it should. But to say that the only reason why they have a problem with Barack Obama is because he's black, you've lost all credibility with me, because that you are not addressing the true issue. And I knew we were going to talk about it. I found all kinds of articles that talk about racism within the Democratic Party. In fact, down here in the South, if you talk to not my generation, and to some degree not my dad's generation, but if you talk to my grandparents and stuff like that, they're all Democrats. And one of the reasons why they're Democrats is because Abraham Lincoln was a Republican, and whenever he fought the war against the South, for the longest of time, the South was dominated by Democrats because they were racist. And you can even
But that's switched around now. That's a good historical fact that the Democrats at that time were actually what the Republicans are today, and what the Democrats are today is what the Republicans were back then. They were more for the side for the people.
I'm not going to go so far as to say that the Republicans are the more racist party. I'm not going to do that.
No, but I'm just saying that it's more prevalent today. I'm not saying that all Republicans are racist, but not by a long shot. That would be saying that, you know, that's like saying the all
I'll
people
Bill
are
Maher.
What? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-oh. But the thing is that, you know, it's like. Okay, I have no good argument to say, you know, why Barack Obama is not dealing with the reckless spending and all that good stuff. So instead, I'm just going to say y'all are racist. And it's like
I don't think that's exactly it.
I think that is it. It's just or he's not acting like it. He may have some intelligent arguments, and I would love to hear his arguments, but you know what? Now that you've called a group of people racist without addressing the concerns that they have, because there are concerns with that. There are concerns with what they're saying, with high taxation and reckless government spending.
I have no problem with that.
And I have no problems with that. Deal with those issues. But don't call a group of people racist, because that just maintain.
All right, this is just from personal experience now. From my own personal experience, I had to deal with this one guy for about a year. It was on one of my routes, and I had to go back and forth with him. He claimed he wasn't racist, okay, but he kept saying up and down because. President's from Kenya, and we had these discussions in the short time we had together, and he brought in this like say his father's from Kenya. It was like, yeah, he was from Kenya, or but he does just because he was there from there doesn't make Barack Obama from there also. So and then I finally got him to concede that point. So. That there's proof that it was here. I said, even if they gave you the thing, he said, oh, I'd still question it. I mean, in any other presidency, I'm asking you right now, you name one other president where the Tea Party has said, I want to see the citizenship. I want to see his birth certificate. Name one other president. One. Any president. That they've been involved since they've been around, have said, "Hey, we want to see their birth certificate." Any president? Not, I'm not talking president-elect. I'm talking presidential presidents.
I think there were some issues with Theodore Roosevelt's.
Theodore Roosevelt's.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I got to find the story, and
we'll come back to well, I'll tell you what. We'll put in the show notes if that turns out to be true. We'll put in the show notes, and if not, then we will let it die there. But anyway, let's wrap this up real quick because we're running long again.
But like I said, don't call it. Even though
I'm not saying they're all racist, but I'm just saying the ones I have encountered, I took psychology. I can tell when someone is being in that frame of mind. It's like a red sign. I mean, it's a stop sign. You can see it. I've been around. My father was like one of these people. That yeah. He was a very racist man, and I'm not proud of that fact. But I've done everything I can to reverse that trend, around myself personally. And in my own life, and
I mean, look, I'll say there are races out there in the world. Unfortunately, we have to deal with them. But
right.
I'm not going to pin it only on Tea Party or only on Republicans.
Right.
They're everywhere in all political parties. And if you're gonna go on national TV,
mm-hmm.
and you want to, I think I'll give Barack Obama this. I think he dealt with the birthist a perfect way. He showed the birth certificate.
Right.
He showed the proof. He showed the evidence.
Right.
If you,
I like the way he did it on the. I also like the way he did it at the news gathering. Also, I thought that was hilarious the way he did that. It's like, oh, no one's seen this video in 50 years, and he showed the Lion King. He said, oh, I guess the cat's out of the bag now, and he's just I'm just kidding. And then he directed at the Fox table directly. They weren't smiling. They I saw them. They didn't even have a crack a grin because they knew they had been trumped, and they knew they had been called out. So, all right.
And that's really what I want politics to get back to. No more of this. Oh, they don't like Barack Obama because he's black. No,
no. Donald Trump doesn't like Barack Obama because he's black.
Yeah, that's probably.
I wouldn't even go that far.
Well, we don't.
Trump has a racist history going back decades, and is just terribly upset that there isn't any piece of paper out there that can declare Obama to be a white man.
Well, right. I think Donald Trump is just showboating,
there's that too.
Trump's always been a showboat.
But if you want to get rid of these people, don't go to name calling. Show why their belief is wrong.
Right.
You know, if you don't agree, if you're going to sit there, like I said, I think Bill Maher did a good thing when he said, "Why weren't y'all talking during the Bushmen?" That would have been perfect.
Yeah,
he should have stayed with that. But to go further and say, "Oh, it's because they're black," it's like,
I think he may have still overstepped his bounds on that a little bit, but he was, but you got to remember he's an he's also partially an entertainer, so he's, and because he's an entertainer, he and the type of show he does, he has to get the reaction. So if he builds the reaction, it gets people like us. We got talking about him. So, anyway, all right. I think we should really move on because we are starting to run really long here. And if we run any longer,
this is every time.
I'm gonna start limiting you to 5 minutes, Eric. I swear. 5 minutes, man. 5 minutes. No. let's move on. Give me the news. I came across this. I have been looking all week for a story. Eric, are you starting to silent again, Eric?
Am I?
Yes, you are starting to silent again. It's starting to become once. It's starting.
All right, there we go.
It's starting to be. Is your phaser set on stun, Dan?
Go into the light.
Dan, set that phaser to stun. anyway, I've been looking all week for a good story, and this one dropped, literally dropped in my lap just before my computer froze up. A Florida teen, some Florida teens, it says here, three teenagers, three boys and one girl, were facing federal counterfeiting charges for allegedly making phony money on their home computer and then spending it in their high school cafeteria. of all places. Apparently they brought in some, you know, special counter defector pens that because some of the money showed up there and they didn't know what to, where it came from, and they caught these people, and they said that the boy had told his friends he did it because it sounded kind of cool at the time, and that's a direct quote. I mean, I've been down on my hard luck times, and I thought, well, I have access to a photocopier. What can I get away with? But I thought, I don't want to be spent with the next 20 years. A guy named Bubba who wants to dance with me. And so I'll stand outside and drink water. So,
hey, Packard, yeah. You got a real pretty mouth.
Well, you're not this mouth. No, bad teeth. Yucky. I'll say anything just to keep you away from me. But reactions, Eric.
Oh, shoot. I wasn't even paying attention. I'm trying to find.
That's right. Here on Packer Polkat, nobody pays attention. I'm out in left field. Dan's knitting something. And Eric, you're digging through your computer. I'm sitting here playing Second Life on my iPad. None of us are paying attention. No. Well, it's fine. Skip you, well, then.
There we go. Go ahead and skip me on this one.
Just skip you on this one. Dan, what do you think?
Well, my first thought is if they were paying for school cafeteria food with counterfeit money, they were still getting ripped off.
Yeah. I've had school cafeteria food. I know the feeling. Yeah. So, but anyway, the kids apparently told the parents that they were needed the paper for a school project. So, yeah.
Well, you know, I don't have the article in front of me or anything. That they got special paper to match and everything.
Yeah, well, it just said they get a yellowish resume paper. So that's it. It didn't go into much detail other than that because, you know, the kids are underage,
It just comes down to, you know, the parents need to monitor what their kids are doing online or not.
Right. That's why I keep my paper or my printer running out of ink at all times so they can't do this. I'm out of ink. What are you printing? 20s? Oh.
Print some extras and we can get some more ink.
There you go. Totally kidding. If FBI people are listening, I'm not printing money. I swear I am not printing money. I work for my money.
most people who work at a job where they are working at a cash register accepting money know enough to know when something is really fishy with bills that they're getting.
Sometimes. But now sometimes. That these pens are available,
yeah,
widely marketed, anything they're instructed is as soon as they get 20 or higher, mark it automatically. It's an automatic thing. So anyway, Since Eric is digging in his files, so he claims he's digging. I don't know what he's digging.
He's looking for Teddy Roosevelt's birth certificate.
See, this is one of those issues where I really wish I had, whenever I saw the article, I had kept it.
Yeah. We'll find it. We'll put it in the show notes. Let's move on. Oh, yeah. Of course, we were talking about the Ten Commandments. Before we get into the Ten Commandments, I did want to read this small thing. We're not going to talk too much about it, if at all. I just want to mention it. That Congressman Peter Stark, this last Thursday was the National Day of Prayer. National Day of Not Doing Anything is more like it. But Peter Stark, on the he came out and said, we want to have a National Day of Reason. I mean, I saw some footage that Fox had done is when they said reason, they like made it like sound like it was dirty. Oh, reason. Oh, you're like, what are you going to do? Tear up my dog? I mean, no. Reason means you actually use your brain and think. But he wants to, he rose today to recognize May 5th as the National Day of Reason. And I seriously applaud him for doing that. So anyway, I just wanted to cover that really quick, and we're going to move on from that right now because I thought it was a very important story came across my Twitter, and I really wanted to cover it. Okay, now we both sides, Eric and Dan, had given reasons why about their breakdown, explaining what they liked about the Ten Commandments. So if you want to hear that, you have to go back to the previous show because we're not going to cover that. What we're going to do is we're going to move right into number two. Thou shalt not thee any graven image. No, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. More bad grammar. Eric, since you went last time, I'm going to let Dan go on this one. Dan, what is your take on uno numero two?
Actually, it's... I find this one kind of bizarre.
What is in religion isn't bizarre.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, from the thou dost not make to thyself a graven image or any likeness which is in the heavens above or which is in the earth beneath or which is in the waters under the earth. And it's like you can't make an engraving of anything you can see in real life. Only pictures you make up in your head.
Oh, that's... Well, then we can't draw Muhammad because that would be you have to use your own imagination.
It's like what's up with that?
Yeah,
I that's just completely beyond me. I don't have any logical frame of reference for it at all in my life. We'll put it that way.
Okay, Eric,
still angry at the fact that I paid $30 for a whole entire season of South Park and I couldn't get one episode because they drew freaking Muhammad in it. Still angry about that.
They blocked out one thing.
They didn't release it on iTunes.
They didn't.
They aired it, but they didn't release it on iTunes. And I get it all on iTunes.
That's where you're getting those torrents. Sorry.
Jerks. That's all I got to say. Jerks.
Yeah.
But I want my money back on it.
Yeah. Give him his money back, Apple.
That's Apple's right. Being jihadist appeasers.
Yes.
That's right. Well, actually, it's not Apple. It's Comedy Central who did it.
Yeah, Comedy Central did this. That Apple just holds on to it. But, I mean, I agree with Dan here. It doesn't make any sense because people are walking around with little crucifix on their neck. Isn't that a graven image? Am I wrong?
Okay, well...
Am I wrong? Is that a graven image?
Let's talk about this in a frame of reference. Because I was with... and I'm kind of, to some degree, with Dan on it. And, again, it depends on a perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because depending on your belief, okay? Depending on your belief, if you are a devout Jew... And it's been a long time since I've been to a synagogue. The people who we're talking about in this situation are Christians. Mm-hmm. That's who we're discussing because they're right. Usually the ones who have the crucifixes, crosses, and all the pictures. And
right.
All that.
I always ask them, what's the small T for? So what's with the small T? You going to have tea later? I don't know. What's keeping a little tea in there? You know, maybe a little something, a little extra, you know? Huh? A little wink, wink, nudge, nudge. No.
But the thing is that, you know, if we start talking about the crosses, no graven image. And again, if we talk about God, and I understand that to Catholics, you don't separate God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, because all three are together.
Anybody, right? I say anybody that says three people are one will buy anything.
Well, and again, here's where we get into the discussion of literal versus not.
Or they're into polyamory. I don't
know. Right. But you know,
that's really neat. If you get some ladies that would do that. No, I'm just kidding.
I think whenever we start talking about Christians and stuff like that, and we really look at that, you know, minus like the 16th chapel and maybe some photography or some paintings here and there that deal with the situation. And we don't know what was going on whenever all these paintings and stuff like that started happening. I mean, it was during the Renaissance and things change.
Right. But this is supposedly.
This is a case where religion changes.
Right.
Unless you're a particular religion who doesn't seem to have changed since the 12th century, but that's beside the point. The thing is that with this.
Ring ID wed. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The way I look at it is that, you know, this is more of a Christian thing, and it's representation of Jesus and his suffering for the people. It's more of a reminder than anything else, and it's not necessarily God himself, and that's about the.
Now, some people would argue with you that Jesus is God. I mean,
like I said, it depends on your perspective of thing. It depends on
not my perspective. I'm just saying this is what I've been around religious people a good portion of my life, and this I know this is what they think. So
well, look, here's the thing, and this is my belief. You know, and we've discussed this before, and the thing is this. I've always said religion is a very personal thing,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I kind of hold the Ten Commandments. As being, if there's anything that's going to be Word of God, it's going to be that. And I think during the time frame that it was written, you know, they were looking at the Egyptians and what the Egyptians were doing, and they didn't want to be the Egyptians. And
walk like an Egyptian.
And that's where some of this has kind of come from. Now,
the Bengals? They came from the Bengals?
That's right. They came from the Bengals.
All right.
Now, fortunately, to some degree, Christianity has modernized, and
the Bible's electric now.
That's right. The Bible. Well, hey,
it's on Kindle. Kindle.
It's on Kindle. Yay! I can now. I can lose it twice as fast.
And delete. and I think as we grow and we mature as believers, I think it's good for us to see these changes. You know, to some degree, and the reason why they established this commandment is because no one knows what God looks like, and they don't want to pin it down. You know, it's kind of like we have all these people.
I would rather have it pinned down because I want to know who I'm talking to. I hate when not to go up to somebody, hey, how are you talking about your sister? I don't know you. Oh, sorry. You look like somebody. You're supposed to look like somebody I knew. You're supposed to be here. No, apparently that's somebody else. I've had these dates.
Well, you know, but the thing is that whenever it was created, they didn't want to be like that and all that good stuff. But think of this. What is our main concept of Jesus? He's a white guy with long beard, you know, brunette.
Which is completely wrong because
he's going to be an African American. That's what he is.
Actually, he'd be more closer to a Muslim or if he was supposedly a Jew, he'd be more of a Semite.
They've got a very good reconstruction of what an early first century Semitic person from that area would look like,
right.
And it's nothing at all what you
would think
of. Yeah, right. Exactly. But people have forever been bringing their own their own
flavor,
geographical take on their deities,
right?
You know, for all time, you know.
I always thought he had extra arms and three heads.
Up with what was in the Nordic countries, you know?
Yeah,
yeah. And I think that's what this was trying to prevent. It was trying to, you know, it just like God. We think of God as being this white-haired, you know,
Santa Claus.
White guy. Basically, you know, because of the Renaissance and because of Europeans' heavy influence, we have this belief that God and Jesus are white people, and that is completely wrong. And you know, I would like to dispel that belief right now.
Thank you.
You know,
that's
we don't
right.
know, and I'm happy about it because you know what. I would like it for someone from either the Middle East or the African countries to be in that form of authority. I think that is a wonderful, very positive thing.
Yes, you but know, the problem is the only problem is that there are people out there that are so far right And so,
no, don't put it all right.
No, 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 no. The people I've dealt with,
as in believing their correctness,
right?
Okay,
they think that they're so right that you try to tell them this, and they'll deny it up and down. They think Jesus was born in America. They think the Bible was written in English, only in English, and it was just written for them. And I give this big face palm when I'm like. And they say, you don't know the Bible. It's like, I know the Bible just as well as you, if not better. And then they say, well, you don't understand it. Oh, I see. So you have special divinity that I don't have? That's kind of crap. Sorry.
Right. And this is a part of what I believe one of the reasons why they don't want the picture of Jesus. Because, you know, they're trying to make it into more of a universal message. You know, God is in all of us. We are created in the image of God. And for us to try and pinpoint an image...
Where was God when I was throwing up? Was he there too?
He was. He was holding your hair back.
Well, I didn't have any hair, so what the hell was he holding? Oh, that, never mind. I know what he was holding. I thought I felt a little warm. Anyway, I want to interject one other thing, though, on this graven image thing, though, because they put Jesus up on the cross. Now, if we would have had... And I've heard this said on Twitter and many other places, that if we would have had electricity at 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, when this was going on, instead of Jesus being up on a cross, would have had him sitting in a little electric chair being fried. I mean, and then these people would be wearing little electric chairs around their necks. I mean, that would still be the graven image. I mean, fried Jesus, sure, why not? But... At least
modernize it a little more and give him little syringes.
Yeah, oh, there you go. A little tied up. He maybe had a little too much of the good juice, you know.
But I think you're missing the actual message of what that cross was. This man believed
it was a stick. It wasn't necessary.
Regardless of if you believe in God or not, the message of Christ. Of peace, of loving thy neighbor, helping out the downtrodden and poor. That's a good message.
Except for the fact is that Jesus also said, and I bring this up all the time, that when I say people said Jesus was of love, when I have to remind them of Luke 19:27, which plainly says that if you do not want me them as my these people who do not want me as their king, bring them forth before me and kill them in front of me. So if Jesus was such a loving person, why would he say such an evil, vile thing?
Hold on, I'm looking it up right now. give me a second.
But I think what we're missing here is that the electric chair and
the cross,
the gas. And the gas chamber and lethal injection are all instruments of death.
Yes.
Now the cross, on the other hand, although it's you're not likely to survive long, the cross is very much more seen as an instrument of torture and an instrument of pain, more than death.
It's a pagan symbol on top of it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was used for
many more years than what people think.
Yeah. Did you find that quote, Eric?
It's Luke 19:27, right?
Yep, Luke 19:27.
Okay, and by the way, I agree with you, Dan. I think that's it's not necessarily about it's more about what he endured.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but of course now there's a lot of stuff you can find out there. We won't get too much deep into it. I'm just going to say that there's a lot of thought out there that the whole Jesus idea is basically that it's an idea. He was not even really a man. He was just constructed by several other people, authors, to either write another story or to show that they fulfilled a prophecy from the previous book, and then they just went on from there. And then, of course, you know, then everything went out of control because. There was over almost 100 years that no one seemed to remember where he was, who he was, if he even existed at all. And all of a sudden, then everybody remembered. I was like, I go to work every day at the same place. I can't remember exactly the same thing I did a week ago. How can someone who'd never been around these people even by word of mouth, which wasn't even there. The only person who had said it was Paul, and so he's the only one, and he only remembered two segments of the whole story that had happened that was written in other books. So the whole concept of Jesus being even real to start off with is, for me, is laughable because of the mounting evidence that he was never even real to begin with. So, but did you find that quote, Eric? Like I said,
I found the quote. I'm looking, because here's the thing, you know, anything taken out of context.
I'm not gonna accept that. I will not accept that, because people go around saying, "For God gave His only Son, for God loved the world, gave His only Son." I say that's out of context. If you're gonna use a line I take and say it's out of context, then that's out of context too. So
okay, let me put this one into a little bit of context here. This is not that section from
Luke.
Yeah,
it's a parable of a nobleman, is what I'm seeing.
Yeah, those words were not what Jesus was saying to the people, "Bring my enemies here." No, he's saying, basically, Jesus was relating a story, and that was one of the lines in the story.
Oh, okay.
Ah, thank you. Okay, so I was making sure. I was like triple checking it and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So that, yeah, it is often taken out of context.
Okay. Well, then
but
I love you, Packard. What I would do without you.
I'm gonna cry now.
We can go back now to the
graven images. This is where we kind of get off track there,
like always.
But you know, so you know, yeah, the cross is more a symbol of the torture and pain, like it had been used for centuries before that, and for centuries after.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing, is that, you know, should we be doing it according to God? No. But I think that religion...
Well, the way the Catholics look at it, it's not necessarily just an engraven image. It's anything which is to be adored or served.
Yeah. And I think that's more of what it is.
Okay. All right. We should wrap this up because we got a lot more stuff here to cover. All right. Yep. So in retrospect, Dan... I'll let you go first on this one. Is this still relevant today? Is this "thou shalt make any graven images," not make any graven images, any value? Is it worth anything today? Is it relevant today?
I think it's still relevant to Christians or any others that follow an Abrahamic faith.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's still relevant to them. To the rest of the world, it's pretty meaningless, actually.
Okay.
You know.
All right. Very good. Eric?
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to agree with Dan on this one. I think he phrased it perfectly. And good job, Dan.
Oh, we have a consensus. Yay! Woo! Okay. I think that's the first time any of us has had a consensus on this show. On anything. We almost had the Gallup poll there going on, okay.
But you know what? I'm gonna say this. I don't think we ever want consensus, because if everyone agrees with everything, then I don't think we're no longer looking at things critically.
Right. But I mean, this is right. Oh, exactly. I try to look
at your opinion. I could no longer call myself a socialist anarchist after that.
There you go.
Right. And I think that's the thing, is that, you know, As much as we have people of my opinion, we need people of Packard's opinion. Just like as much as we need people, as I would hate to say this, as much as we need people of Bill Maher and Rosie O'Donnell's opinion, yep. We also need people of of Rush Limbaugh.
I'd rather flush Rush, tell you the truth. But anyway,
I'm just saying we need a whole lot of people from a whole lot of different perspectives to create the best solution. We need everyone's opinion.
Yeah.
And
but you know what they say, like, you know what they say about opinions? Opinions are like the rear end, the chute, where everything comes out, because everybody's got one. Okay.
And everybody else stinks.
Yes, exactly.
Remember, we're all people.
I know some people who are actually tentacle monsters, so we can't all be people. anyway.
And just remember this, as much as Packard and I don't agree with each other, at the end of the day, we're still friends.
That's what's important. Okay, all right, let's move on then. Our funny tweet from the day comes from Shexy. It's underscore S-H-E-X-Y. XY_ she wrote, a juggler is just a schizophrenic playing catch.
I resemble that remark.
I can't juggle to save my life. Someone said juggle, or we're gonna put you down. I was like, I'll throw it up in the air. I could probably juggle for about a second, maybe 2 seconds, but I just can't do it. I just don't have that kind of like. Your eyes got to be somewhere. You got to know where your hands are. My hands are with me all day. I don't know where they've always been because I
did a marathon session of a little over 2 hours one afternoon, and my eyes were killing me.
Really? I would imagine so. I mean, you got to watch everything, where everything's going. I mean, I don't know how these people do it with, I don't know how people do it with chainsaws. Like,
I've got knives and torches and stuff too.
So. Oh, right. I just don't want to grab the wrong end there.
Yeah, I've done that.
Oh, painful.
We'll have to post a video.
Oh, I would love to see a video. We'll put that on the link in the show sometime. If you got the video, we'll post it. Eric, what do you think on that?
I'm still looking for that article that I told you about. So let's go.
Again, Eric's not paying attention. No one paying attention again.
I'm like so dedicated to finding this article. It's like, I know I saw it.
Eric, it's come. You can post it after the show. We don't need it now. It's too late. Move on. All right. Okay. Now,
okay, I'm paying attention on this one.
Oh, you have to pay attention on this one. This is your we're now for the our shout out.
Hey, you guys!
Eric, go ahead, give your shout out for your.
Okay, for all of you people who were children of the '80s, I'm sure y'all have seen the TV show and movie of G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
And one of the greatest G.I. Joe.
You don't have to read what he said. Just read the. Just give him his name. So let the people explore that one.
The which is awesome. You got to admit that was an awesome.
I'm looking at it. It's like, yeah, okay. So,
but everyone knows the villain Cobra Commander.
Yes. Well, if you grew up in the '80s, you know who Cobra Commander is, and if you watch cartoons at all.
That's right. Well, Cobra Commander has a Twitter account, and it's at Cobra Commander.
You want to spell that for our audience in case they're spelling illiterate like I am sometimes?
Okay. It's C-O-R-B-A.
You got C-O-B-R-A.
C-O-B-R-A. Cobra.
Yeah.
Commander. C-O-M-M-A-N-D-E-R.
Yes.
It's really some humorous stuff, and it's done by G.I. Joe's Cobra Commander.
All right. Very humorous. Okay. Dan, I think you said before the show you also follow Cobra Commander.
I don't. My wife does, though.
Ah, okay. Yeah, or somebody. I forgot, was you or was your...
I'm still running into that follow limit thing, too.
Yeah. That darn Twitter.
Break the limit.
I'm sitting at 2001 again.
All right. Well, we also have tonight, we have an interview with a friend of the show. Actual friend of mine, sort of. I met her on Twitter. Amy Stewart Hale. You can find her on there as at Pen, P-E-N-N, Dragon, D-R-A-G-O-N, Art, A-R-T. She does a lot of really nifty artworks. I've seen, not personally in person, but I've seen her website. She does amazing drawings. So I will play our audio with her, or my interview with her, and... we'll be back here in just a few moments. Hello, this is Packard Sonic, and I am here, well, not here, I'm on Skype with Amy Stewart Hale. I'm sorry, Amy Stewart Hale, and she's one of the many Twitter people out there in the Twitterverse, and she is a wonderful person, and I have been very honored to do an interview with her today. So, Amy, what is it that you do?
I'm a professional artist. I work primarily in 2D, which is any media that is flat. I don't do sculpture or anything like that. So most of my work is on canvas. I do also sketch, and I do some ink and those kinds of things. So.
Oh, that's cool. I have seen some of your works. They are very, very well done. Very well practiced hand, I can see.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
It's been 20 plus years of doing this, so.
Oh, very good. We had spoken at some point in the past, and it's. I remember we had a discussion about some guy that had been harassing your family.
Yeah, I have a stalker that doesn't like my art, and he's a radical Christian.
Like there's none of those out there.
Right. So, anyway, his name is Neil Horsley. He is tied into the Westboro folks.
Oh, really? Now that I didn't know.
Yes. Yeah, he is of the same. Between him, he's kind of in with Westboro and then also with the Baptist group that 2020 just did a thing on.
Really?
Yeah, I actually posted a link on that on Twitter about that group. The one that the girl got raped and then had to stand before them and, you know, before the congregation and apologize for being raped.
I remember seeing that tweet now.
Right. Well, it was on my Twitter stream. I don't know if I mean, it's somewhere in my Twitter stream. So,
well, we'll find it.
Right. So, anyway, as far as actually being able to access it and send it on to you, I wouldn't be able to. But you can Google search or go to the ABC website. I'm sure you can pull that up. Oh. So, but he is of the cut of the same cloth. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. You know, you're being harassed by this Christian group. Now, what would you like to say to, as an atheist, to all these Christians out there that feel that they're being oppressed by us when they actually have like 80% of the population out there?
Yeah, I am... if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. No, I'm kidding. No, really, it just astounds me that a group of people could be so evil under the vice of religion, and then and then play the victim.
Yeah, yeah, they are good at that, aren't they?
Oh, it makes me crazy, and and they're the it's like the bully syndrome. They're bullies, and then they turn around and play the victim, and it's just crazy to me.
Yeah, especially when they're the ones being told that they can't bully people, then suddenly they're the victims.
Right. Well, they're the ones who instigate it, and then then when we come back and say, hey, stop it, this isn't right, this isn't how you're supposed to be according to your faith, then we're the ones who then they play the victim card.
Right.
And it's like, what the hell?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
It doesn't make sense to me. Save my life. I live in the Atlanta area, and they call the galleries that I schedule shows with, and they proclaim bomb threats. And
that
so
doesn't
then,
seem very that doesn't seem very Christian to me, does it?
No, not at all. And so then my galleries will drop me. Have dropped me. And so when my galleries drop me, of course, I can't have shows. So I started doing one-night shows where it was like a one-night group shows in different places. But it's hard because then people want to, want to come in and spend time with the art, and they can't and all of that. So it's a very frustrating situation.
I can imagine.
They've truly affected my income, and that was their goal. And they told me that was what they were trying to do.
Yeah, let's start from everybody out that doesn't believe. That's real Christian.
And so it's just, it's been very frustrating. I'm working on other outlets in being able to get my art out there. And obviously they can't affect the website.
Right, exactly. Speaking of your website, where can our listeners find your artwork?
Pendragonstudios.com, and it is P-E-N-N, so P-E-N-N, dragonstudios.com.
Well, thank you so very much for being on at this late hour that we've had to choose from, and being on the podcast. Thank you so very much.
No worries, and thank you. Thank you for asking me.
You're very welcome.
It's wonderful talking to you.
As well it was. Thank you.
Awesome.
You can find Amy Stewart Hale on Twitter at PennDragonArt. P-E-N-N Dragon, D-R-A-G-O-N-A-R-T. Okay. Oh, I've gotten feedback from somebody here again.
Uh-oh.
Someone's got it cleared up now. Oh, no, maybe they're not. Anyway, yeah, that was Amy. She's a very nice lady. Follow her on Twitter. Buy her, if you like her, check out her webpage. If you like her art, please buy some. This woman is having issues, and you can help her out quite a bit right there. So please give her a look. See, you might like find something you like. Maybe you won't. Art is in the eye of the beholder, and you know, there's the old saying: I don't like art, but I know what I like, or I don't know what I like, or whatever. I don't know how that goes. All right. Well, we're about ready to wrap this up, gentlemen. And I use that term loosely.
thank you.
You're welcome. As myself included on that. Any last thoughts for this evening? And don't say stay neutral, because I don't want my car run over. So any last thoughts to Eric?
I am going to find this article if it kills me.
Oh, that well, don't die in the middle of the show. It might get really good ratings, but I don't want anybody actually dying on the show, because that just it makes actually in the long run it makes a lot of bad air, because you never get an answer. So, are you there? Where'd you go?
Bad publicity.
Yeah. Well, Osama, you know. Anyway, well, that was a lot of bad publicity. But anyway,
can you do me a favor and see who's at the door. Yeah.
Too soon? No. last thoughts there, Dan?
It's been an interesting week. And, you know, I keep running into a lot of people on Twitter, spending a lot of time there. And I just want to say that I run into a very great deal of very, very cool people on Twitter, and I've run into a few people who are just total waste of oxygen.
Oh yeah,
but that number is very few. There are very cool people out here using social media right now and using it in the right ways. And,
yes,
I'm enjoying it.
Yes. All right. Excellent. Okay. Well, that's it for us. I think we've bored you to tears enough. No, I'm just kidding. I hope you've enjoyed the show. The show is not on Facebook yet. That may come at some point. But we are on Formspring. If you want to, you have a question for us, look us up on Formspring at Packard Pokes at. Drop us a question if you have a question. Or drop us an email at PackardPokes@gmail.com. Eric is on Twitter as... Eric, have you changed your Twitter address yet?
I try, but it's not accepting it.
Oh, no. Well, maybe someone's got that one, so you're going to try something else. So what's okay. your... Well, give our audience your Twitter handle, as it is still currently.
ELUQUE1696.
All right. And Dan can be found at...
I am at Rel Unrelated. That's RELUNRELATED.
All right. You can find the show notes, the show and the show notes, at PackardPokes@.wordpress.com. I am Packard_Sonic on Twitter, so you can find me there, or you can find the show at PackardPokes@, all one word, on Twitter as well. Thank you again for listening, and have a great evening, day, morning, whatever you listen to this.
And that's a wrap.